right, we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes live way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, before I go any further, I'm going to pause a second. I'm going to give you something big to think about and something free. You ready? Here we go. Got your attention, didn't I? So let me just start off by saying, yeah, it's a crazy world. We all know that. It is a crazy world. I mean, it's a target-rich environment for a show like mine. You are out there right now doing what you can to set aside something for your future and also standing up for what you believe in. That's the kind of people this audience has. So let me ask you this. What if you're putting aside things, your investments, so to speak, in your future, and you find out, though, that some of those investments are going to companies that absolutely don't stand for what you say you believe in? Happens all the time. So maybe, just maybe, it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and experts at Inspire Advisors, or one of our newest advertisers. Inspire Advisors. Look, man, I'm talking about financial planning that considers who you are and what you believe in as much as your bottom line. So these are solid local experts. They use biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your return, and they do it in a way that impacts your bottom line, but also positively impacts the world in which you live. I call this financial freedom, big time. So here's the free thing, all right? If you want to know what's in your portfolio right now, if you want to double check and make sure you're not investing in some woke ESG stuff, if you want to check things out, go online to their website and get a free impact report. It's www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com, a free impact report from Inspire Advisors. You can also, by the way, go to our website, rightsideradio.org, click on our sponsors tab, click on their logo, and go straight to their website. But here's the deal. Conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom. That's what you get with Inspire Advisors, and you can find them at moneypatternwealth.com. All right, let me jump on into the next dipper here, and I will tell you, this is a big one. All right, so every single one of y'all has to eat. Did I just state the obvious? Yeah. Every single one of us has to eat. Doesn't matter whether you grow your own tomatoes in the backyard or you buy them at Publix. Doesn't matter. Either way, every single one of us got to eat. Everybody loves some bacon. All God's children need some bacon. My point is this. The vast majority of what we consume as people is brought to us by the men and women in the agricultural industry. Farmers. You know what I should have done? I should have gotten the God made a farmer and played that for you. But that being said, farmers are, and go figure. I mean, let me back up. When I was in the state Senate, I was very aligned with certain, you know, groups of folks. And the folks who were in the agribusiness sector and I always got along great. Alpha is one of the biggest agri-industry players in state politics. Alpha, the Alabama Farmers Bureau, Farmers Federation, I'm sorry. And I had no problem lining up with them. Generally speaking, we always saw eye to eye. And it's mostly because their folks were just solid, salt-of-the-earth citizens. And my favorite times were to go to the meetings, the local meetings, the local federation meetings. And like Mike, every county has their own. And I'd go hang, and I'd be there, you know, and I tell you what, like in Etowah County, man, the Sewells would bring in, you know, fresh produce. We'd have dinner that night. Or, you know, I'd go up to Cherokee County and, you know, and they'd be bringing in potluck. And then I'd go down to St. Clair County and, good Lord. And they'd send a plate home for Charlene if she didn't come with me. These were just God's people. Loved it. What's amazing to me is that good, solid people like that who are working hard to make sure that they make a living, scratching out the land, have somehow become the enemy in the war on climate change. Reuters has an article here that came out a couple years ago, about a year and a half ago. Reuters has this piece that clearly tells you what the priorities are. Within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Secretary Tom Vilsack, that's another one of those Biden appointees, the whole of government approach Climate change is the existential threat to everything that we believe in. Well, the U.S. Department of Agriculture was proud to announce they're spending $3 billion in projects to reduce what it calls climate-harming emissions from farming and industry, and forestry, tripling the funding that it had initially even envisioned for the program. Tripling. In other words, they were going to do some stuff, then they got real excited, and they got a whole lot of money, and they got $3 billion to do what they called decarbonizing the U.S. economy. Awesome. In the course of saying so, this statement is made. Farming generates nearly 10% of the U.S. greenhouse gas emissions, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Quote, this will allow the U.S. agriculture and forest industry to take a leadership role internationally. This is a really big day for American agriculture. Yeah, it's a really big day. It's a really big burden. What they just did is they started laying out this money with the sole intent of doing, it's like you're seeing in the private sector right now. You're having automakers and all of them being crushed by policies and regulatory burdens and demands for EV vehicles. The government is getting in there and going, climate change everywhere, climate change. How long is it going to be till you can't change your child's diaper because it's going to be a methane-producing opportunity? I mean, that's where we are right now, the madness. But what they're doing to farmers is becoming more and more of a thing that then trickles down to you and I buying goods at Publix. We head on down to Winn-Dixie or Star Market or, you know, any one of the other places where we buy our foods. Guess what? Prices are up. Are they up because of basic inflation? Yes, but they're also up because of regulation. They're up because right now, farmers' lives have been made so much harder. There being demands being put on them to go to what they call net zero emissions on their farms, trying to get them to go to electric vehicles for farming, trying to get them to go into fewer pesticides or changing what pesticides they're allowed to have, making demands on the water they're allowed to use to irrigate the crops, and then, oh, by the way, favoring some of the large corporate farms as opposed to the family farms to the extent that the family farms are just struggling. Senator Tommy Tuberville is actually been named as the top number one Republican acting on the Senate Agricultural Committee on behalf of farmers. Hoping to get him on the show sometime soon. They're right smack in the middle of some stuff right now, and I couldn't get him on this week. But he was named as the top Republican of the Senate Ag Committee just this year. And he's been doing a great job advocating for farmers. I'll be honest with you, I need to talk to his office. They release too many things. I get inundated sometimes. My inbox is covered up, but at least I know what he's doing. He released a piece in May, and it says, Democrats' farm bill framework is a liberal wish list. And yes, it is. He says, Democrats have their priorities in the farm bill. The proposal does not put our farmers, foresters, or producers first. It prioritizes spending on nutrition and conservation instead of farm programs. They've been saying for months they have no money to bolster farm safety nets, but yet somehow they found $20 billion to spend on partisan priorities to include giving, you know, more SNAP benefits to Puerto Ricans and tying conservation spending to climate change initiatives. At every turn, he points out this phrase, food security is national security. And he says it's important that the Farm Bill prioritizes those who work hard to feed and fuel and clothe Americans. And I agree with that. But then I look at this article that I've got from the Heritage Foundation. And it points out that what we're seeing right now is not just in the United States. Europe led the way. European farmers are being told that they have to get on board with net zero emissions of greenhouse gases and other so-called pollutants. And their industry is even being phased out to the extent that you begin to wonder what are they going to do for a living? I mean, whole farms are being shut down. Pesticides and you know, herbicides and fertilizers are being stripped away from them. They can no longer use a lot of them. U.S. Congress is going to pass a farm bill this year. This is last year. With Inflation Reduction Act funneling $20 billion of climate funds into agriculture, which they did, and American farmers are about to face similar pressures. So what we're seeing happen in Europe where farmers are lining up their tractors in mass protest. And you've got, I think it was in Brussels, where you've got farmers actually dumping manure on the steps of government buildings. And we're not talking about a little bit. We're talking about mass protests, which the public didn't get much information on because it wasn't reported well. Food prices are up over 10% in the U.S. Climate restrictions are going to send those prices higher, says the Heritage Foundation. Egg prices have been up 70%. Sausage up 10%. Breakfast cereals and bakery products 15%. Chicken 10%. Lettuce 17%. Y'all, it's unbelievable. And then what do? They make it a more of a regulatory burden, and farms feel the pain. And when farmers feel the pain, so do the consumers. It trickles down to us. And then you get into trade and you look at it and go, my gosh, what exactly is Biden doing? Story here on Newsweek came out in October of last year. Biden's trade policies are a disaster for American farmers. These were two Republican representatives, so they don't like Biden anyway, but it points out the U.S. Department of Agriculture marked another disappointing development in Biden's lackluster trade agenda, projecting that our agricultural trade deficit, we're in a trade deficit on that. We should be a net exporter. Is going to climb to $27.5 billion for fiscal year 24. It's an alarming trajectory, but unfortunately, it's standard operating procedure for President Joe Biden and his entourage of advisors. The priorities of rural America are being regularly pushed aside and forgotten, says this article. It goes on to talk about it's mostly energy policy and poor foreign affairs. And so we wind up being the most fertile and capable nation in the world. We are the breadbasket of the world. And just like you're seeing that we are no longer energy independent, now we are finding ourselves in an agricultural trade deficit. And there is absolutely no excuse for that. Absolutely none. Unless, of course, your priority is not the care and well-being of your own people. If your priority is on green energy policies, well, then maybe we are the leader. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Keep in mind, coming up top of the hour, a guy named Mitt Walker, who is with the Alabama Farmers Federation, calling in to talk about this very thing. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, listen, we're in this number two of the Triple Dipper farm to market. So you guys have heard over and over again, and sometimes we've even joked about it on the show, some of the woke policy efforts on the part of the liberals that go straight to the heart of what it even means to run a farm. You know, you got the whole Waters of the USA thing. You've got put diapers on your cows. You've got, you know, just on and on and on. Asinine. But the reality is, it's very real. We can joke about it, but at the same time, it's very real, and it trickles down to all of us. And when the family farm gets run over, and all you've got is the corporate farm that might be able to sustain its operations, it's going to change the entire dynamic of farm to market. Fox News had a story that came out in February this year. A guy named Ray Starling, he used to be chief of staff for Republican Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, which is also the former governor of Georgia, I believe. But he said that the lives of farmers have become more difficult since Biden took office for a variety of reasons. And the ones he cited more anything were burdensome regulations related to the FDA, water policy issues, and guest worker visa programs. And on the water thing, he said at the end of the day, anybody involved in agriculture needs it. They need access to it. They need to be able to manage it. Probably the biggest thing we've seen in the water space is this administration seems very determined to maximize the EPA's jurisdiction over land that has some kind of water on it. So a real quick background on this. There was a massive outbreak of regulatory burden under the Obama administration, and it was called Waters of the U.S. You could have somebody look at an intermittent stream that was dry three quarters of the year and say, I'm sorry, Waters of the U.S., you can't do anything near that. And make it, I mean, if any of y'all have ever been on a military installation where you can't train because of a red-cockaded woodpecker being sighted somewhere in the next 10 miles, you know what I'm talking about. That kind of regulatory asinineness, jackassery, is rampant, especially with the EPA. And the EPA can step in and shut down your farm. You appear to be irrigating your fields with waters of the U.S. I dug that pond. I tapped it with a well. I'm sorry, sir, but it is now a permanent fixture. That makes it waters of the U.S. Doesn't matter. Now, waters of the U.S., the EPA got slapped around by the Supreme Court just, I think, last year, actually. Supreme Court came in and upended the Biden administration policies that I'm talking about, where they were trying to reinvent, because Trump rescinded the whole waters of the U.S. debacle. Biden immediately put it back in. The Supreme Court had to get involved. And they narrowed the ability of the EPA to do some of what it was doing with water, because it was just killing farmers. Here's the thing. EPA is not content, because the way the ruling came out, they were told they couldn't do it that way anymore, that they had to take a look at whether or not there was a relatively permanent body of water to which it was connected. So what are they doing? The EPA is now keying in on its own interpretation of what the words relatively connected or relatively permanent means. Oh, God. No one in the Supreme Court realized they were giving them a loophole. They knew exactly what they meant when they passed entered that ruling. No. But the EPA, because they're intent upon making farmers the enemy in the climate change wars, is determined to reinvent what relatively permanent water is. Now, we do have the most recently, as of last week, Senate Republicans are grabbing hold of the House-passed agriculture bill and trying to move it forward. The House did pass a farm bill that was a pretty good one, and it got some bipartisan support. So you've got senators like Tommy Tuberville right now grabbing hold of it and saying, look, we want to do this. Because in Tuberville's words, he says, I hear from farmers who are struggling to stay afloat in Joe Biden's economy. They need a farm bill that will help them shoulder the immense burdens of feeding, fueling, and clothing our country, not a woke laundry list of burdensome climate regulations. And he says, unlike the $1.5 trillion giveaway from Senate Democrats, the Republican farm bill framework actively puts farmers first. Our framework would increase reference prices, expand access to capital, and boost market opportunities. So, with things like, modernizing irrigation systems, combating foreign affluence in doing things like, sometimes it sounds little. Do you know what it means to be a pecan and tree nut farmer in Alabama? Well, it's a big industry. They got them added to the farm bill. How about wild hogs? Can we hunt wild hogs? Can we please have wild hogs stop eating all of our crops? What can we do about this? Well, guess what? There's a Feral Swine Eradication Act being introduced. Gonna be hunting some hogs, y'all. All I'm saying is this. If farmers are put first, we will all benefit. And I don't mean like, over everybody else. What I'm saying is quit making them the enemy. Quit making the men and women who supply us with the foods that we need the enemy. They are not the reason why you have greenhouse gases. Coming up next, Mitt Walker, Director of National Legislative Programs for the Farmers Federation of Alabama, is going to be on to tell us all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number three on Turbo Thursday. Listen, I know who my audience is, a bunch of Right Side ruffians. You guys are conservative and salt of the earth. And I know for a fact, too, that not only does every one of y'all eat, you eat well, you're also tired of paying the cost of bacon that we're seeing under the Biden economy. But here's the other thing. I've had more than one time, I have had listeners tell me they're row cropping or working their cattle farm while they're listening to the show. I know who my audience is. And this dipper that I'm doing right now, this one hits home. Farm to market, that's number two on the triple dipper today. We just spent the last half hour covering down on some of the issues that are being imposed upon the farming community, the agribusiness sector of our economy, which, by the way, is a multi-billion dollar economy just in Alabama alone.
Listen, the poultry farmers in Alabama alone are a billion-dollar industry. And when you see the regulatory burdens being put on them to make their lives more difficult, does it not only crush them? Yes, but it also crushes us because that means the cost of their goods goes up for us to buy. All right, let me stop talking for a minute and just bring in somebody who knows better than me. Mitt Walker is on the line right now. He is the Director of Governmental and Agricultural Programs for the Alabama Farmers Federation, ALFA, down in Montgomery. He's been working these issues for years. Mitt Walker, how are you doing?
I'm great, Senator. Thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. Thank you for making time. Well, you probably heard me talking there just a moment, and I know you guys have been engaging with Senator Tuberville quite a bit, who is sitting on Senate Ag and doing a great job. But what are you seeing right now? How is what the current state of things that we're seeing from the Biden administration, how is it impacting farms in Alabama?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, when you think about farming, it is inherently risky and inherently difficult. You're dealing with everything from weather to supply chain disruptions, you know, global markets where, you know, we have a saying that farmers are price takers, not price makers. A lot of times what they're paid for their crops is determined by the Board of Trade in Chicago or somewhere else in the world. So, you know, when you couple what's already an inherently difficult business with just a litany of rules and regulations that are thought up by either environmental activists or lifelong bureaucrats that probably have never been out of D.C., it really, really makes things more difficult on the farm. And like you said, a lot of that actually translates to the consumer and what they're paying for the goods produced here in Alabama.
Well, I know we've all seen it. I mean, the Biden economy is not just about inflation. Inflation is just an indicator of the larger problems, a lot of which are brought upon by regulatory environments.
Sure.
And we hear all of the somewhat laughable stories like putting diapers on cows and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes we also see that it's the insidious little things they do, like changing the manner in which you're allowed to either fertilize or use herbicides on your farm or you know, impacting the way you can irrigate because they're going to take new interpretations of the waters of the U.S. So are some of the biggest regulatory burdens y'all are fighting against right now?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, a multi-decade fight for us and others, not just in agriculture but in business in general, is the Waters of the U.S. rule. It goes all the way back to the Clean Water Act in the 1970s and has been the subject of litigation time and time again. And if you look at the last three presidential administrations, Obama, era Waters of the U.S. rule was extremely punitive toward the ag community. One of the things that President Trump campaigned on was the fact that he would repeal that rule when he was elected, which he did. The Trump administration put forth a very straightforward rule that actually was more in line with congressional intent of where EPA and the Corps of Engineers should and shouldn't regulate things. Fast forward to the Biden administration, they repealed the Trump-era rule, and now we're stuck with another really bad rule. The Supreme Court did strike it down last year unanimously. They struck down what's called a significant nexus test, forced EPA to write a new rule last year. But unfortunately, even that new rule really didn't adhere with what the court asked them to do and still leaves a lot of ambiguity there. We see it as a land grab, Senator. It is has very little to do with the environment and a whole lot to do with controlling what you do on the landscape, whether you're a farmer, a homeowner, a home builder, go down the list. So, you know, that's just one example. You referenced the diaper on cattle. I mean, it'd be funny if it wasn't true. I mean, you have people that are looking at these rules, thinking these things up. I never dreamed. I've been doing this almost 20 years at ALFA. Last year, we all had to go to battle with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Here in Alabama, that's the SEC, not football, but the federal agency that looks at investments and that kind of thing. They issued a rule that had to do with climate reporting that would have actually trickled all the way down to the farm level. Wow. With our individual farmers having to report their emissions.
Wow.
Terrible, terrible rule. I mean, so, you know, there's things that you kind of are used to fighting, whether it's the Corps or EPA type rules. But yeah, in that case, we were even dealing with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which I never dreamed would be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you look at it and think, is it even? And I know that there are folks out there. I mean, I've got some amazing folks just in what used to be my Senate district here in Northeast Alabama that are still family owned farms, and I can't imagine what it takes to run a decent family owned farm. I mean, just to be able to get the capital you need to buy the things necessary to do whatever it is you do, whether it be row cropping or poultry or cattle or whatever. Is even capital has been made more difficult with all the ESG rulings and everything else we've seen, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Accessing capital is more difficult. Unfortunately, the monetary policies of this administration has made borrowing money more expensive. When you're looking at operating loans and that type of thing, you know, one of the issues that we deal with here repeatedly, when you talk about the capital intensive nature of farming, the state tax, or what we call the death tax, is a critically important issue. In fact, Coach Tuberville and our president, Mr. Parnell, actually released a op-ed that they co-authored just this week, talking about the importance of the Trump era Jobs Cut, Tax Cut and Jobs Act. A lot of those provisions expire next year, and we're going to see the estate tax exemption potentially double. So that's just one of the things that are affecting family farms. A lot of cases, our farmers have had to get bigger just because of the cost of doing business. And, you know, it doesn't take long. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but it doesn't take long to accumulate several million dollars worth of capital on a farm when you look at the value of land. You know, a new cotton picker today costs in excess of $1 million.
Wow.
A spray rig could cost you as much as $500,000. So just those basic tools to farm the land and the land itself can oftentimes be worth several million dollars. That's all money that's tied to the operation. If a family member passes away unexpectedly, the remaining family members bear the brunt of this awful death tax, and in some cases, they have no choice but to sell a piece of property in order to pay those taxes, which makes them less viable as a family operation going down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we could probably find 100 different angles to talk about. Waters of the U.S. has been a pet peeve of mine for years, but I gotta ask you too. One of the things that we've seen in recent years is deep concern about foreign intervention, and you know the classic case right now is Chinese owned entities buying up American farmland, and we've even seen Senator Britt and Senator Tuberville both taking a stand on that issue.
Sure, yeah, Senator Tuberville has really gone to bat on that issue. Some of his provisions actually are included in what the Republican Farm Bill would look like moving forward. Senator Britt's also been engaged. Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, food security is national security, right? And we have to make sure that we're doing everything we can as a country to be able to produce the food, fiber, fuel that we need to sustain ourselves, and then hopefully have enough, you know, left over for exports, and that does add value to our commodities. That's one thing, you know, rather than this current administration focusing so heavily on issuing rules and regulations, really two things, in my opinion, would help more than anything. One is to get our energy policies right in this country.
Yeah.
Everything ties back to energy policies, and then our trade deficit is out of hand. Historically, the agricultural portion of the trade balance has always been to the positive. Four out of the last 6 years, the last 2 years in particular, we've seen our trade imbalance in just agricultural trade skyrocket to, it's projected to be $32 billion this year.
Yeah.
Love him or hate him, you know, trade was at the forefront of the Trump administration. It was in the news every day. When's the last time you've heard this current administration talk about opening up new opportunities for American goods to be traded around the world? It's just not happening.
Right. I saw the most recent report saying that we're at a $27.5 billion trade deficit right now. We should be a net exporter. We should be in a trade positive.
Absolutely.
There's no reason why we shouldn't.
Absolutely.
Well, so let me ask you this: the current farm bill, the one that I think it came out of the House with some bipartisan support. It is now being talked about by Senate Republicans, but we still don't have the majority. We're just off by just enough to be able to say we can do what we want to do. And so the reality is that farm bill is sitting and waiting. It has not passed or been machined or massaged yet, has it?
It has not. The House Ag Committee did move their bill out of committee, and you're right, with a little bipartisan support. I think there were four Democrats that voted to advance that bill out of committee. Chairman Thompson from Pennsylvania has become a good friend of ours. He's been to Alabama multiple times. He has drafted a really strong bill for the agricultural community. It helps to address some of those inflationary pressures that you talked about. It is a good bill for production ag. Unfortunately, with it being an election year, there are very few days that the House will actually be in session between now and the end of this Congress. With the slim majorities you talked about, it is going to be a heavy, heavy lift to get a bill out of the House. And unfortunately, the Senate is probably even further behind now. I will give credit to both Coach Tuberville and Congressman Moore from down in the Wiregrass. Both of them got quite a few of their priorities included in the draft text or the frameworks of the two bills. So, you know, shout out to them for going to bat for Alabama farmers and doing a really good job. The Senate bill is off to a slower start. There's two frameworks that have been released, one by the majority and one by the minority. So actually, we're looking at kind of three different visions right now for what a final farm bill would look like. So far, you know, what's out there has been well received that the Republicans have put out. It would be good for the ag community, but a long, long way to go to get that passed.
Well, Mitt, I really appreciate your time today, and we're pretty much out of time right now. But I got to tell you this before you go, though. One of my favorite quotes came from Jimmy Parnell, the president of Alpha. I was a judge on an FFA competition, and he was there, and he was speaking, and he said, you know, he heard one time that if the rest of the world figured out about bush hogging, we wouldn't need psychiatrists. And I have used that phrase multiple times. But
Have you got time for one other quote real quick?
I got about 30 seconds.
When you talk about this climate change stuff, during the Brit campaign, one of our farmers that was in one of our commercials had the reference to tractors and the fact tractors don't run on windmills. So we got to keep that in mind, too, when we're talking about all these climate policies. So thank you for your time, Senator. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. Mitt Walker, Director of Governmental and Agricultural Programs at Alpha. We appreciate your time. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
All right, we'll take a break. I ran long, but we'll come right back and wrap that up. And listen, y'all, God made farmers for a reason. We should not make their job just harder. They're producing for us. That's the bottom line. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I told you, Rex from Huntsville just texted in and says, guess what? I'm cutting hay. Listen to the show. Says, thanks for sharing your concerns in the state of agriculture. For some reason, Democrat administrations are not friendly to ag. Yeah, go figure. I guess they don't eat. Come on. Dylan from Athens says, thanks for covering some of these woke policies being forced on agribusiness. Before we know it, the EPA will declare even the rain clouds or waters of the U.S. No kidding, man. Dylan, I may borrow that phrase. So, by the way, shout out to David from Etowah County, who I happen to know is often on the tractor when he is listening to the show. So, David, if you're listening, you are a right side ruffian, brother. All right, I got several more texts. Let's see what else we got in here. Rap from Athens says, have no sympathy for farmers. Okay. He said, I know a few. They get way too much from the government. Okay. He said, also, Roundup Ready seed has destroyed biodiversity. Okay. He said, not as many wild plums or honeysuckle as it was when I was young. Cotton and corn farmers are the worst. Okay, Rap. You know, good luck with that mentality, but I think you're standing alone in the field right now. Pun intended. Allie from Athens says, Phil, I'm out and about delivering the current edition of Athens Now. On the front cover is featured Isom's Orchard. Wes Isom had to speak through a lump in his throat when he talked about the fact that they have no choice but to have to pass on the price increases to their customers. His family's been farming in the Athens area since 1933. He is not a happy camper, understandably. Well, tell him that we appreciate him and we want him to stay in the business because we need him. And I hope it works out. In the meantime, consumers are not blaming the farmers, except for Rap. He's blaming the farmers. But the rest of us are not blaming the farmers. We can see the Biden economy. You know, go figure. I said it in my monologue earlier. It's amazing to me that Biden could say everything's great with the economy. but I have to pay off student loans. But everything's great with the economy. But bacon costs 17% more than it did last year. But everything's great with the economy. But, you know, stuff. Nofri from Lexington. Is this on our current topic? Nofri from Lexington said, one of our biggest problems in our country is uninformed people. And then he says, Right Side Radio, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro are great places to start. Thank you, Nofri. Appreciate you. Got a brand new texter in the line. Is it Kano? Kano? Anyway, K-A-N-O from Layton. We're glad you're in there. And I appreciate it. By the way, he's sending me a thing. The sheriff in what county is this? He says it's the Cobra County Sheriff put up a giant billboard. It says, attention drug dealers, report your competition. gives a line for them to call it in. That's good stuff. Glenn from Bluntsville says the Democrats don't need farmers. They eat bugs and hamburger meat from the lab. That's a good point. I'm pretty sure looking at what Chuck Schumer had on his grill, he was eating some of that lab-grown flappy meat. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right and back.